Hey, this is WTOB's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by...
Edward Gerald. Hi, Jason.
Hey, it's always great catching up. We just spoke, I guess most recently, I guess Angels in America at Arena Stage. But, you know, you were Ebenezer Scrooge many years at Ford's Theater. So many great roles, you know, a theater acting roles around town. But I wanted to talk with you about the current writers and actors strike.
Writers and actors, yeah. Yes.
I guess before we get into the reasons for the strike and all that, just catch our listeners up really quick about, you know, how you are also a card-carrying SAG member, that, you know, some of the maybe film or TV roles you've done in addition to all the local theater stuff they know you for.
Sure. No, I actually, my dad was a local UAW president for 25 years. And his rank and file actually gave me a bond when I was born. I used that money to join AFTRA in 1977, and I've been a SAG member since about 1980. So yeah, I've done a few films, Die Hard 2, Striking Distance, I've done House of Cards, I've done Turn, and lots of voiceover work for Discovery Channel and so forth. So it's been a mixed bag, not as much obviously, but as theater. But yes, I've been a card-carrying member of SAG and AFTRA for, gosh, you know, 40 years plus.
That's awesome. And thanks for that background on your dad, too. That really ties in sort of the union union pride coursing through your blood.
Absolutely.
And real quick, which role, remind everyone who, I mean, I remember, but who did you play in House of Cards and Turn and Die Hard 2? You know, which roles did you play?
Well, in Die Hard 2, I was one of the air traffic controllers in the Rack'em, Stack'em, Pack'em scene. Mm-hmm. And I had an immortal line call, which went something like, Fuji 601, execute published approach procedure and hold, which will go down in history. And who knew it was a Christmas classic? You
know, like that. Yeah, that line, man, that's right up there with, you know, Franklin Madeira and all the greats, you know.
Exactly. In Turn, I played the prime minister for a couple of episodes, and House of Cards, I played the Senate leader for the Republican side in season 2, I believe it was.
Yeah. Wow. And then, of course, you know, all the great stage roles, you know, the Justice Scalia and the Originalist, like that and Scrooge. But that list goes on and on and on. But I wanted to, I guess this time we're here, we got to talk to stick to the screen actor stuff.
For sure.
So, yeah. I guess let's start, you know, I would love in a minute to talk like how it affects, you know, actors locally. But just big picture, you know, if people have been reading the headlines in the news, you know, why was it necessary? You know, what are some of the, you know, the gripes, let's say, that actors, you know, maybe, you know, Hollywood actors, you know, in big picture, like what are some of the, you know,
here's the thing,
residuals, AI, all that stuff.
Absolutely. Well, here's the first thing. You said Hollywood actors, and all of the headlines say Hollywood actors. That's the first thing people need to know, that it's not about Hollywood actors. It's about all actors. In fact, the Washington area has the third largest local outside of Hollywood and New York. It's larger than it is in Chicago. So that's, it's about the middle class actors, not the headliners, obviously. It's the folks who are like me, or, you know, who are working day to day to try to make enough money a year to get health care, for example. We're looking for just a fair wage for a day's work. That's the bulk of the thing, right? 85%, at least 85%, just like Actors Equity, 85% of folks that are in the union are not making enough money a year to get health insurance. So meanwhile, the execs and stockholders are making millions and billions a year, right?
So just in bonuses sometimes.
Exactly. So that's one of the things, is just getting a fair wage for a day's work is huge. And the other piece that you'd mentioned about the AI bit, I think it was Bob Iger that came out the other day and said, you know, what we want, here's the offer on the table from the producers. For example, with background folks, with extras, we want to buy you out and then be able to use your image. And here's the phrase, which is in almost every contract, in perpetuity throughout the universe, which means they own your image forever and can do whatever they want with it.
So basically, break that down. You can work one day as an extra and get paid like that one day. But then after that, they can literally recreate you for the rest of your life.
Exactly right. And that's one of the, and that's that battle is not just about actors, right? We're leading the charge for AI in general, for other work, you know, roles in work. There's a really interesting piece that I think it hit on Twitter the other day, where someone asked AI, would AI work better for an executive in a studio or for an actor?
Yes, exactly. Flip it back on them.
Exactly. Exactly. So the thing is to be able to say, you know, this actually goes back a long time, since maybe the 80s when DVDs came into fashion, and the studios were saying, listen, we're choking here. We need to get this revenue. And they never figured out how to pay artists for their work in terms of residuals. It's become buyouts, right? So once you do your work, we own that material forever, and they can use it over and over, and you don't get your residual for it. That they've never figured out how to do that. How do you count? It was easier when it was on TV or movie. You say, well, we know here, we're licensing this film, for example. But if you're watching it on Netflix, how do you know how many people have hit it, and how do you distribute that profit with the artists? That's part of the issue.
Right. And it was one thing. Explain sort of, I mean, just this, so I have a variety of sound bites because I can totally use
right.
what you said. But explain how, you know, it was one thing when it was like you're saying, like, you know, maybe actors got, or and writers in this case, because it is a dual strike at this point. First time since 1960, I think. Explain how it was one thing when the video on demand, or when it would play on cable, or maybe show up in the bargain bin at Walmart. You know, it'd be one thing when that was sort of like the tail end piece of it, but people have already got the residuals based on the main baby, which was the box office or whatever.
Right.
But now, talk about now. Now it's flipped where the streaming is the whole beast, but they've already owned your rights and you don't get a piece of it.
That's exactly right. So, for example, with Die Hard 2, if every time it's relicensed for Europe or for HBO or for another DVD release, at the end of each quarter, I get a little check. I go to my mailbox and there's a check for $10 or $50 or whatever it is.
You get your little air traffic controller hands. You say, exactly, this way to the mailbox.
That's right. I've made more money in residuals than I did in the actual work. And that's how it used to be. It's not quite that way anymore, right? So if you're, I'm doing a piece, well, I, for example, Robert Prosky's son, John Prosky, who was a great Washington actor. He did a series, and someone came up to him and said, hey, you're on TikTok. He said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. Look. And he showed him a scene from his movie that had 2 million likes and had been seen by 2 million people. He said that 2 million people saw that. Probably more. So he didn't get a nickel for all that. And because it was changed, music was changed on it, or someone wrote something over the top, it's now considered an edit. So that work is now used by somebody else. And Mr. Prosky's not getting his due for, you know, 4 million people watching it. So how do you count that? And that's a really difficult thing to do. And I think that's what's on the table with regard to, you know, accessing it. Do you watch the whole thing? When you watch Netflix, do you watch the whole movie? Maybe you just saw the first 10 minutes. I'm off. Does that count? How do you manage that? That's the issue.
So basically, it seems to me, and we talked to a writer, a friend of mine, for the writer strike, but it sounds like the same thing that you're saying for the Screen Actors Guild strike now. It's sort of, I mean, are you basically, it's basically like we're sort of in a wild, wild west where streaming and digital content just it changed the game entirely. It turned the whole studio system on its head, but there aren't any rules in place that these unions have worked decades to garner certain rights that they've earned. But now none of those rights apply anymore. It's like, you got to start all over and work for those same rights all over again. And the execs are like, no, we're making money hand over fist because we like the new way.
Well, that's right. Well, I mean, for example, Netflix has 88% of their shares are held by investors, right? Institutional investors, banks, hedge funds, so forth, right? And this week their stock hit a 52-week high. They made institutional investors $106 billion this year, $106 billion, right? And it's easy to get mad at the execs, but that's their job. The issue is that A-list actors aren't getting paid so much, because they are, because they're worth it. The math has been done there. But in reality, 87% of SAG-AFTRA union members don't qualify for health insurance, and they have to earn $26,000 a year in order to qualify. And that's what this is about. The wealthiest 1% hold 53% of all stocks. The top 10% hold 88%. So every dollar these media companies don't give to a writer or an actor, they're giving to millionaires and billionaires. So when you say actors and writers are spoiled, it's really on the wrong side of the story. So that's the issue.
Why are we helping out these spoiled celebrities? You know, that's just it's sort of an ignorant, low-hanging fruit way response to this whole thing. It's a huge industry, like you said, the middle class and even lower class of actors. You know what I mean?
Right. It's the same with Actors Equity. 85% of workers are unemployed every single day. It's a very small percentage who are making the kind of money that you see, the A-listers. And that's not what this is about.
You're talking about theater, you mean, right there?
Theater, yes. I am talking about theater.
Yeah,
but the same is for SAG and AFTRA, that the bulk of this argument is about how do we get folks who are trying to survive what's due them.
Yeah.
And protecting their jobs with AI.
Definitely.
And I think it's going to go on for a long time. I think it goes on till, say, November, when the first quarter financials come in. And it's time for Thanksgiving and the release of big pictures.
And the Oscar campaigning and all that.
Exactly.
We saw the cast of, what was it? Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer. They just picked up and left the red carpet and flew back home.
Yeah. Can't do a red carpet now. You're not allowed to do it. That's off. That's part of the strike.
Yeah. So I think you're right. November is probably going to be a time when you get the receipts from summer blockbuster season, but also entering into the Oscar season. That's when the rubber's going to meet the road, probably.
That's right. The pressure is going to be on the producers to come to the table and get it done.
Should viewers, you know, our listeners here, a lot of our listeners probably, and there are some actors, I'm sure, listen to this, but a lot of them are, you know, just fans that watch shows and go to movies and go to theater and stuff. I saw an article the other day that said something like, well, how can we help? And they're like, well, I don't know if you should boycott going to the movies because we need to show proof that there is an appetite out there. But, you know, yeah, what should supporters and allies that are just regular, you know, fans of movies and TV, should we be, you know, boycotting going to Barbie and Oppenheimer, or are we supposed to go? And then I don't know.
Well, I would go to see movies for sure, but I also would go to see theater because there are actors who are working right now. And if you want to support an artist, go to the theater.
Yeah.
That would be that in the meantime.
That's great advice. And I guess I should say in the final seconds before we run, you've been generous with your time. Full disclosure, I am a member of SAG-AFTRA because WTOP, you know, we came in on the AFTRA side as a broadcast station, and then we merged with SAG. But we were all like, well, are we supposed to, like, am I supposed to still be covering stuff? And they were like, yeah, our radio side, and I think even local TV.
Well,
we have a no-strike clause on our side.
Right. Well, there are also categories, right? You know, there are actors and there are anchors and there are spokespeople, right? Yeah. Journalists, right. So, yeah, I get that. I mean, I came in as an actor too, and I did some radio stuff, but I believe it's, you know, these are about actors and it's different. It's a different category.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I guess that we've been given our marching orders that we aren't allowed to strike, probably because it's a daily news station with traffic and weather.
Exactly.
And
right.
And we need to, exactly. It's like a vital industry or whatever. Like,
it is a vital industry.
Communication.
Yeah. I mean, and it's great to have allies or actually on the airwaves telling the story about how this is important.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that's what this can be is, you know, I have to work here, but I'm going to use that time to shine a light on the problem and hopefully raise understanding or whatever. So,
well, you have a lot of reach and a lot of clout, Jason. And I appreciate you doing that for all of the rank and file and for me.
TOP does. I don't know about me. But
you
have clout. They're gonna hear your voice and be like, oh, okay, there's Ed. Whatever Ed says is gospel. All right, cool.
No, my God.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks so much. And I hope you and your bride are well. All best to you.
Oh, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, Jason. Cheers.